people are living into their 90s, to their hundreds, right? And that means that we must be married longer. I mean, I'm just amazed that, you know, we're celebrating 60th wedding anniversaries, 70th wedding anniversaries. That means you have to be married with one person for your lifetime, for a longer period of time. So how do you stay attracted to one person and stay committed to that one person all your
life? What's the secret?
Quite a challenge,
it's kind of
right?
Giving me like goosebumps. It is kind of a big question. Like how?
Yeah.
Thirsty and 30.
Hi, Thirsty people. This is Bea, one half of the duo of Thirsty and 30, the blind leading the blind chat show on smarter love, dating, and relationships. It's been a while since we released an episode, but we needed to talk about this topic that has been evergreen and timely, infidelity. So we invited Lissy Puno, a relationship expert and author of The Affairs Don't Just Happen, to give us a deep dive on infidelity. We start off this conversation with Sherry sharing a sense of paranoia she feels when it comes to men and cheating.
Well, I am engaged and getting married soon, but you know, living in the Philippines, being surrounded by immediate family or family in general, really, the men are all cheaters. So instilled in me ever since was a fear of getting married and a fear of men even dating, because like in my head, everybody's gonna, or every single man's gonna cheat, because that's what my Lolo would say. 99.9 of men will cheat. So that's what's instilled in my head. So I want to learn about let going of that paranoia, because I feel like that could be toxic in itself in a relationship. And sometimes I feel like it could even be like a driver into causing turmoil in a relationship. So, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, thank you both again for having me for this discussion that we have on affairs. And, you know, I'm glad that the book sort of like, you know, stimulated a discussion on such a relevant topic. And maybe I'll start off with, you know, pick up on where Cherry left off about men being cheaters. But here's the information for both of you, right? That women are catching up. So although affairs and infidelity is really was associated with men in the beginning, research is saying that women are catching up, although the affairs that they have are motivated by different reasons, okay? So for example, for men, it's about the pursuit of another person. The second is a sexual need or the sexual drive. And the third one is novelty and attraction, right? That's usually what men are usually associated with, you know, affairs. Also because, you know, one of their top needs are, of course, sexual fulfillment and admiration. Now, for women, interestingly so, because emotional intimacy is such a requirement before sexual intimacy. What drives the affair is really more about self-esteem, self-worth, and truly falling in love with the third party. And so they feel that, you know, their affairs would have so much more meaning than what would be associated with affairs with men, right? So we could maybe start with that, you know, as an opening for all of us to be aware that infidelity puts a lot of people at risk, both men and women. But here's another interesting fact, right? And it's based on science, which is that our lifespan is extending so much more than in the past. People are living into their 90s, to their hundreds, right? And that means that we must be married longer. I mean, I'm just amazed that, you know, we're celebrating 60th wedding anniversaries, 70th wedding anniversaries. That means you have to be married to one person for your lifetime, for a longer period of time. So how do you stay attracted to one person and stay committed to that one person all your
What's
life?
What's the secret?
Quite a challenge,
it's kind of
right?
giving me like, huh? giving me like goosebumps. It is kind of a big question, like how?
Yeah, and so your listener is actually, she's right. I wish that we learned how to manage this sooner so we don't put ourselves at risk. And what can you really do to a lifetime of commitment in a way that you stay interested, attractive, passionate, in love, amidst the reality of life? So, big question.
I need to learn.
Are you going to answer that today? I'm curious. It's yeah, like an eternal question.
Yeah, I mean, we want to. We want to answer that question towards the end, right? Towards the end of our discussion, maybe. But maybe tell me, are there other pointers about the... Maybe I can tell you a little bit about why I wrote the book.
Yes, please. I mean, a lot of people who tell us about their cheating situations, they get caught off guard. Even I have said I didn't realize it could happen. And then the book just says affairs don't just happen. So you shouldn't really be surprised. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the book was launched in 2016. And, you know, as a psychologist, my work started, you know, what, 30 years ago, working with children and teenagers. And it was a time when I was living in Thailand, in Bangkok, where I was working with a lot of, I had the opportunity to work with a lot more couples that were really subjected to a lot of infidelities. So I went back to school, I trained on how to work with couples, understand the premarital dynamics, really understand the dynamics of couplehood. And from that time on, which is now about 17 years ago, my work was divided between couples, families, children, and teenagers, right? And one day I was working with my mentors from the United States, Harville and Helen Hendricks, and they were telling me their story, that the whole philosophy behind the couple therapy that I'm doing, which is called Imago Relationship Therapy, started when they were in the airport about to ask for a divorce from one another. And then they realized that, you know, instead of us thinking of a divorce, why not think about how to work with couples to prevent marriages from ending, okay? And so from that experience, their own marriage, Harville and Helen, it was ending. And they're a top couple psychologist. So they worked out this therapy that will really help couples sort of like get their marriages on the right track, have a good marriage, and so on, right? So sometime around that time, 2014-16, I was working maybe with 2-3 couples. They were just married for 6 months, 3 months, and 1 year, and they wanted to end their marriage. And I was like, wow, why are marriages ending sooner, right? All three experience an infidelity. And if you think about the affairs that they were describing, I mean, they're not like full-blown affairs. One was, well, I don't mean to minimize it because the pain was still intense. But what I mean is this. One met up with his high school prom date, and they just started texting, you know, in the middle of the night, which I eventually in the book called social media affairs, right? One just met someone in the bus stop, right? And it was just a random, in the bus stop because they were smoking. They just hit it off. And then they just started meeting for drinks and very innocent. So, yes. I mean, they were not intending to cheat on their partners. right? But there's something about that situation that allowed it to move towards an affair, right? And so the book, although it's entitled Affairs Don't Just Happen, if you know what can fuel an affair, right? The book is actually how to protect yourself against it, how to repair, and how to recover. Because 86% of couples who may be subjected to an affair or an infidelity can actually recover. So affairs are high, but recovery, very promising. Wow,
that's promising.
It's a lot of maturity.
I'm hopeful
to really recover from it, because the emotions are like a roller coaster. So so the book is how to prevent. It's not about affairs. It's really about how to prevent, how to affair proof your marriage, how to affair proof your relationship, how to watch out for the red flags on people who might be prone towards infidelity.
There's a page there that where you talk about the signs of people like in affairs, and it talks about, I wrote it down here, it was like, it's nothing, I don't know what I did, let's keep our individual lives private, I need time for myself, it hurts when you don't trust me. I have heard those lines before, so I'd be like, wow, I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Right. And so it's not really, I mean, the words are familiar, right? Like,
yeah,
nothing. I'm not really in love with that person. You're the only person I'm in love with. It didn't mean anything. It was just a kiss. It was just a date. It was just a phone call. I mean, you know, a lot of these things. But then before you know it, you're so entangled. You don't even know how to get out of it. That's how the web, that's how complicated the web of affairs can be.
I do have a question. I know that they always say prevention is always better than the cure, right? Which I think the book really does discuss. But I guess my curiosity is, I feel like the recovery part is so difficult. I feel like I always get asked the question of, could you ever forgive your husband if he cheats on you? And my initial answer is always like, no, I can't. But when I grew up and I've seen marriages crumble around me, it's a choice to forgive. Like, you can make a decision to forgive, but you can't actually do it. And I feel like after the forgiveness part, then the failure comes again. So my question is, like, what's the key to recovering or the key to forgiving a cheater?
Yes. So, you know, that's a whole handout of what they need to do. But let's keep it simple, right? So, so first I want to say, you're right. Forgiveness is a choice, okay? But based on a few things, right? The first one is the acknowledgement of the pain, right? So the other person has to validate your pain. The second one is acknowledgement of the wrongness of the choice in the behavior, right? And then the third, which is the longest part, is making amends, making up for what you've done, how you've hurt the other person. And then the fourth one, that is the questionable part of sustainability, which is behaving in trustworthy ways. And what does that mean, right? It means knowing the boundaries of your marriage and honoring those boundaries that you choose to put in your relationship, not even marriage, even an exclusive dating relationship, honoring the boundaries that you've agreed to have. And that's why I want to tell people out there, look, this is one of the questions we had in our other recording, right? I mean, come on. Yes. Nothing good happens after 3 a.m. in the morning. So if your partner is saying, we're just partying, it's all innocent. I mean, come on. Nothing good happens after 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if you're husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, spouse is out every Friday partying, clubbing, you're putting yourself at risk. You're putting the relationship at risk. And so, you know, they don't just happen. So if you know what can push someone to an affair, then make sure you prevent it.
I like it. Don't make it start at all.
Yes.
3 a.m. is very generous. Mine's like 10 p.m. No. I mean, nothing good happens after 10.
Unless, hey, Cherry, unless you're together.
Of course.
I mean, if you're together, and I mean, look, come on. I mean, if you push your boyfriend to, you know, go out with my girlfriends, come on, they love you. Hang out with my girlfriends. I mean, why would you let him hang out with your girlfriends without you? Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you also have to safeguard your own relationship. You know?
Yes.
You want to be cool, you want to be smart, right? So
actually, that's the main advice that I've always heard when people find out that things are getting serious. Like, don't ever let your guard down. Like, no matter how much you trust your partner, do not let your guard down. Just keep your ears and your eyes open. I'm like, really? Yeah. Our whole lives?
Yeah, no, but you know what? Yes, your whole lives. Oh my gosh, you'll be surprised. I had someone come see me and they were in their late 70s. Like 78, and they didn't think it was going to happen to them. Late 70s. And he was approached in a mall, very innocent, with a sob story, very generous person. And before he knew it, it evolved into something more than what he bargained for. And he was literally confused how it ended that way, you know? Someone just saying, guapo pa rin ho kayo.
Oh, gosh.
Ang successful nyo sa buhay. You know, things like that. And wow, and you know what the hook is? The words feel good.
Mm.
That's the hook, right?
Yeah.
Feels good. And if there is
I love that
within you that you're not aware of, and a coincidental, accidental, spontaneous meeting suddenly touches it, create the spark, and whoa, that feels good. You better go back to your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and tell them, whoa, someone just told me I'm so pretty, I don't look my age, and it felt so good. You know?
Yes.
Talk about the vulnerability before it surprises you.
I like that. I really like that. Yeah, I want to write that down.
That's the hot tip of this show.
But you know what? I said something in the beginning, right? I also want to get rid of my paranoia that came from what my lolo kept telling me, which is all men are cheaters. No, Cherry's also right, because it would be unfair for her future husband if she's so suspicious naman, you know? So my thought, or paranoid, so my thought is, be smart, be cool, but don't let them know that you're paranoid. But put things in place so that you are really on top of things.
Yeah. I trust you, but not 100%. I always tell him I'm going to put hidden cameras in all the fast food places because he likes to eat.
No, but how about this? I trust you, but I don't trust the people around you.
I've heard that too. Yes, I have heard that. I trust you, but I don't trust them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thirsty and 30.
Hi, thirsty people. If you are loving this episode, you can show your support in two ways. The first one is check out thirstyand30.club and donate to our show. And the second way is you can also share this episode with a friend. Your support actually makes all the difference in our mission to make millions of people smarter at love.
Thirsty and 30.
Can we talk about people that are not to be trusted? So I've had an encounter of someone that is a serial cheater. He a serial cheater, and I think a pathological liar, where he basically he had like three time, like he had a girl a second girlfriend. I wasn't really a girlfriend, but he wasn't transparent. And then he had a wife. On paper, he was saying, you know, he didn't have a wife, but he had these three, and maybe he had more. But my question is, you said affairs happen when people want to feel good. But let's say this situation where this guy has obviously multiple partners, what void are they trying to fill? And what goes in someone's head like that, where they could totally create different stories for each woman?
So psychologically, he could be polyamorous, right? You've heard of the term.
Yes, yes.
So polyamorous is needing multiple partners to love you, right?
Okay.
Second is, I mean, this is a person maybe who badly needs attention, right? Mm. And definitely, this is a person who does not have boundaries. But as the partner, I guess the question is, how is it possible that you don't know that your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, has other commitments? How is that possible that you don't get, you know, that you...
My theory with that is people like to, if you don't see it, you won't get hurt, which is what I've seen with my Lola.
Yeah.
Turn the blind eye, it's not happening. Even if there's proof, you just choose to ignore it, I guess to spare yourself the pain or something.
Right. To keep the status quo, right? To keep the status quo.
Yes.
And they really don't want to rock the boat. But Cherry, if you talk about a grandparent, I mean, that's a totally different generation.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, people are not going to tolerate a lack of that stronger commitment that they think they truly deserve. Right?
Mm. Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, if your partner is saying, look, they need more physical and sexual intimacy, and you're saying, sorry, but that's not a need I can meet, I mean, you have to be realistic that they might look for it elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why you need to know each other really well before making that commitment.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting with the stories in the book. There are people that admit right away. There are people that don't admit. And then there are ones that really, really will never admit. And again, that's the whole, like, sometimes I just want to crack their brain open and see what is going on there. Because, I mean, affairs, like you said, it's so complex.
Right. Wait, so, I mean, look, so relationships, they're hard work, okay?
Yeah.
Just so many pressures in relationships, okay? So think about that. So pressures and stress in a relationship. Second is, right now we are in a society that really focuses on individuality.
Mm.
What about my happiness? What about me? Why do I need to accommodate your needs? Why do I need to follow your rules? Why do I need to be trapped and confined with these boundaries? Well, I want to be happy and do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. So that combination, having a lot of stressors in a relationship, and then the individuality mentality, creates a perfect storm for looking for fun and that feel-good feeling elsewhere. So what's the response to that? Well, take care of your relationship so that it is at least pleasant and fulfilling. Take care of yourself, self-care, knowing that you are part of a we. Now, that is something I really want to highlight. People get married but never form a we. It's like two eyes living parallel lives. And
gosh, I want that on my notes too.
Yeah, two people living parallel lives rather than really connected lives. You know?
Yeah.
So
you do mention that in the last part of the book. And I know we don't have much time. And of course, we want people to read the book. But maybe we can run through a couple of the 8 C's that you mentioned. Because I think that was so good. Like, we don't have to run through 8. But which one do you think would be, I guess, people could start with?
Okay, no, can I just quickly flash reasons for affairs?
Yes, of course. Sure. We love them. We want to know.
Okay. So I was just thinking, I just want to differentiate between men and women, right? Because women have affairs because they truly believe they've found love, okay? And then they like the attention and they really like the emotional connection and just feeling good about themselves. So please, if you are the man in this relationship, think about the women who want to feel good. So if you're a toxic partner, please stop, right? And then, of course, that midlife shift. But look at men, right? Their reasons for affairs is because of sexual variety.
Yeah.
You know, more so maybe Filipino men, because there's still that message of wait till marriage to have sex or only have one partner, you know, which maybe does not work for them anymore. So just that pursuit and conquering feeling of being, you know, manly in that way. Again, new partners, multiple partners, having fun in that midlife perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that, you know, they could sort of like think about.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite lines in your book was this: keep in mind that a wife wants to be treasured and protected. A husband wants his wife to look up to him and respect him for who he is. And this is exactly why we started this show, the difference of how men and women see things, even language, sex, whatever. And I'm like, yes, remember that and we will be in less trouble.
Right. Well, I want to add one more line there. So
yeah, go for it.
men need sex to feel close. Women need to feel close to have sex. So you see the irony of how men and women are made? So men can have sex and after they have sex, they feel so close to you. Mm-hmm. Women need to feel close to you in order to have sex. So, you know, just before maybe sex happens and you say something wrong that takes away the emotional closeness, that's
so quickly.
So, you know, men have to understand this, that they have to be very, very careful, right?
Yeah.
And women need to also know that they have to sort of like meet the men halfway too, right?
Yes. I've heard something like, is there a magic number as to like when you're married that you should hit it? Like you should have sex at least once a week and that should be fine. Or is it just, it varies. There's no like.
You know what? It depends on, you know, the needs of, you know, men and women. And, you know, these days, women are very much established in terms of their own sexuality and sexual needs. So they have as much sexual needs as men have. So, you know, as partners, you need to figure out how do we want to see sex in our relationship? What will be our sexual energy? What will be the sexual dynamics? How adventurous are we going to be? How open? And you really just have to understand what it all means for both of you, you know? So find out if you have certain myths about sex, like, oh, sex ends by the time you're 50. I mean, those are all myths, right? Because
it's
a lifelong need and it could be present in your relationship in varying degrees, of course, different qualities as you get older. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we have the eight C's, right? The eight C's that we wanted. So these are the ingredients that I feel would, you know, affair-proof a marriage. So I outline this in the book. There's a diagram. There's, you know, ideas on what to do for each one. Okay. Now, the first C, which is to be centered, that is for the individual self. And that means as a centered person, you have emotional, psychological, mental maturity. You're grounded into your identity. You know who you are. You feel safe. You feel secure. And you're just very much conscious of your needs as a person. So you're centered, grounded, anchored. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. The second C is to be curious. Now, this is an attitude that you want to have for your partner. So you're interested in them. You're aware. You know them. You want to get to know them. And you're constantly curious. So for one person to be constantly curious, you as the other person must offer something new, right? So stay dynamic. Keep evolving as a person. Keep growing. I mean, in looks, in your thinking, in your interests, in your passion. I mean, if you want someone to be interested in you, you need to be interesting.
Yeah. Agreed. Yes.
I love that.
I mean, so you want to remember attraction is something you feel for someone you don't know. Correct? You're attracted to someone you don't have. How can we stay attractive or attracted to someone we're committed to for life? So we need the attitude of curiosity to stay attractive.
I like that.
Okay. And then connection. So remember I told you two parallel lives, just walking side by side, but not connecting in anything. So you need to find ways or moments of connection. That could be many different things to many different couples. So find out what yours might be. Where do you connect? How do you connect? What do you connect with? Yeah. And then, of course, caring behavior. Again, that is as varied as the number of people on earth. But of course, we have our love languages. What really touches you as, you know, caring. What's your currency of love? What makes you feel really cared for? I mean, it could be so different for every person, right? I mean, you know, some people say, oh, well, for me, every time my husband buys me my favorite magazine in the airport, I'm just like, oh, you remembered, you know.
I mean, I'm so thoughtful.
I mean, that he knows I like magazines. You know, he knows what I like. He knows what will sort of like make me feel happy. Yeah. And then, of course, calendar simply means make time for one another. Right. And then communication. I cannot emphasize how important it is that you know your partner the best. You know, like I have people coming into me saying, oh, my college barkada knows me more than my wife. Or, you know, I have a, what do they call it? An office spouse or a work spouse.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes. And my work spouse is someone at work who knows more than my own spouse. I mean, come on. That means you've allowed someone to be closer to you, right? So communicate in a deep way.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
The next C, I really love this word. It's so old-fashioned, but to cherish. And you're asking maybe why did I include this C in these eight ingredients, okay? Only because I was baffled when couples come to me and say, well, I really don't feel special in this relationship. And I'm just like, what? You don't feel special? You know, your partner doesn't make you feel special. If you don't, that's a big red flag. You should feel special. You should feel important. You should feel like the priority. Like, you know, it's the feeling of, well, let's use the Tagalog word, kilig, or that you're drawn to the person. It's the first person you look for. It's the first person you want to be with. It's the first person that you want to share things with. I mean, if you're feeling burdened having that person in your life, like, ugh, then that's a big red flag. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're married to them.
It's obvious. And then the last
one. Surprise, people don't.
I know.
They don't. Like, some people have this notion that if it's a husband or wife, they're bored with the idea. But I was like, why would you want to be in a marriage with that person if you're bored with them?
Exactly.
All of these, actually.
Yeah. And also about, and I mean, if you're not feeling it from the beginning, please do not make a lifelong commitment if you're not feeling it for the other person and thinking that it might grow after we're married, or maybe it will happen after we're married. My answer to that is, if you didn't have it before marriage, it will not grow after marriage. Now, you might say, well, what about the arranged marriages of the past?
Yeah.
Well, and that's why arranged marriages are not happening as much anymore, right? I mean, it takes a certain level of maturity and commitment to make an arranged marriage work, right? So, so, you know, think love, feel love, act love, right? So you're constantly in love. I mean, if you don't act in loving ways, you're not going to feel it. If you don't feel it, you won't think it, right? So you need the three components to really be able to stay committed and not allow yourself to be distracted by other people.
Those 8 C's are mind-blowing. I think if you can tattoo them somewhere or just put a post-it in front of you, that would be great. Lizzie, we have a couple of our favorite questions before we wrap up. I think, Shari, can we ask this? What is love for you? I mean, we've talked about it for like the full session, but what is love for you, Lizzie?
Yeah. So, I mean, so I was going to end with a quote, right? But I like to think about love as a bond that two people feel for each other, okay? And it's made up of a couple of things, you know, affection, mutual respect, communication, trust, openness, and honesty. You know, so love for me is a strong bond that two people share, and it's a special closeness that they maintain with those ingredients, and of course my 8 C's as well, you know. So love could mean a lot of things, but I want to think of it as that nurturing special bond of closeness that people feel for one another, made up of affection, mutual respect, openness and honesty, trust, communication, plus, of course, my 8 C's.
This has been so valuable. I can't wait to get married and apply. I mean, I can apply it now and when I get married.
I am so excited for you, Bea. I mean, I do want to tell your listeners, right? Falling in love is such a great thing. When you've found the right partner and you both continue to make the relationship right for each other. So it's an option. So please do not lose hope.
Thirsty and 30.
So, Bea, let's go to our takeaways. You, what did you learn today for your future relationship or marriage?
What did I not learn? I mean, it's always hard with these things because you want to apply it. But honestly, when you're in love, you're blinded or infatuated. I like what, you know, we don't really talk about sex in the show, but I did like what she said, that the sex perspective is so different when the woman, when you have to be close to have sex, and then the man gets close to you after you have sex. That's something people need to know, because people get confused with the intimate part of their lives. So, just keeping it real.
Yes.
For all the girls that give it away so easily. How about you? I'm in a pessimistic mood, as you can tell, but let's bring it to the, you know, the sunny side of Thirsty at 30 today.
Sunny side. Well, what did I learn today? So much, you know. I mean, I like the, I kind of laughed with the word cherish with the 8 C's, but actually yeah. It was kind of my favorite. Sometimes it's so easy when you are in a stable relationship that you know that you're married or you're engaged or your boyfriend, girlfriend for X amount of years, you end up taking each other for granted, but feeling cherished, you forget that it's a nice feeling. And I think us girls tend to be a little bit self-centered about feeling cherished or getting praised, and we forget to do the same with our partners.
And like yourself, said, or everyone, all the women, but I
everyone in general. I mean, us women really do like feeling that's special, true. Right? When yeah. was the last time that you've given a guy like chocolate or flowers or some romantic gesture, right? I can't remember the last time. Exactly. So I think that's a lesson that we have to take from this. But also my favorite takeaway from here was when she said something about you should know your vulnerabilities. Find it, communicate it with your partner, and then let your partner help you with your vulnerabilities. Don't look elsewhere for somebody to like tackle the hole that you feel in your heart that yeah. you didn't even expect. And then next thing you know, you're having sex with another person just to feel yeah. like whatever you're feeling vulnerable about. And my last one, you should know your partner the best. Keep curious. I'm also a believer that ask questions and also be interesting. It's so easy again to be interested. Ask ng questions. Sagot ng sagot yung partner mo, but you're just now this person who just keeps asking, but there's nothing interesting to ask about you. So I think at the end of it, it's all about like working on your marriage, but the key to it is also working on yourself. Cause you can keep on working on something, but you're suddenly just a shell of a woman, married woman with nothing inside her, but so information about her spouse.
We're back to Nega.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, based on observation and old school marriages that I have observed, it's a lot about the woman is a shell, just absorbing every single thing about their husband. So now they have like that. And then inside, what's interesting? Nothing. It's empty. So you want to keep filling your own shell or your own thing and keep interested about your husband's shell.
Welcome to the thirsty and pessimistic show.
But cherish your loved ones. That's my final takeaway. Cherish them. Make them feel cherished.
Guys, if I can just add, don't go for feeling instant goodness. I think you have to go for the long term. So those 8 C's that she's brought up during the show, work on them. Maybe not all together, but I think bit by bit you should get to the 8 C's.
But also I feel like we should have touched something that I think we should just do down the road is when you should learn.
Let's talk about it now.
No, but we kind of need a professional for it, but let's open the conversation. Yeah. When you're supposed to give up on the marriage, like I think we're always taught to work on a marriage and work on a relationship until what? Yeah. Like, you know, when is it time to say, ciao, you are no longer part of my life? Mm. And when do you work? I think that's an important distinction to make.
What's your theory? And then we can throw it to our guests, our listener and expert in the future.
My theory, I feel like, is very basic. I mean, when you're in a good relationship, your goal is to make each other better people for your children, for the people around you, whatever, right? If you start seeing yourself becoming a worse person in your relationship, maybe it's jealousy or maybe somehow your relationship made you more greedy or self-centered or insecure, then those are telltale signs that maybe this relationship is not the nurturing and loving relationship that you should be in or save. I think that to me. How about you?
I love that. That's in Logan Urie's book. Like she said that a lot of people will ask their family and friends, how is he? But in reality, you should be asking, how are you with that person around? Yeah. I agree with you. I also think it's in this book, Affairs Don't Just Happen. She talks about the steps that people have to do, especially the person who commits an affair. And there's one that I particularly think should be number one. If they acknowledge and they validate your feelings and admit their mistake, I think that is worth keeping.
Yeah.
But if they don't, if they do the opposite, obviously, I think it's cut them off. Guys, cut them.
Yeah. I think that takes me back to like religion, right? Catholicism. Yeah. Like, when is a confession valid? When you feel remorseful. So if you have a husband who's just saying, okay, yeah, I did, I cheated, whatever, yeah, but it's not remorseful or can't admit their mistakes, then again, ciao.
Ciao, cut it, whatever.
Cut.
We're at the end of this.
Go to Satan, done.
But thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in this episode. Let us know what you think. When should you stop working on Go on, you do it.
Yeah. When's your relationship fight or flight? When do you fight? When do you fly away from it? I think.
Don't listen to us today. We're PMS /
nabudol ng pag-ibig. I am super PMSing.
Thirsty and 30.
That's it for our episode with Lissy Puno. My takeaway from this episode is 86% of couples that experience infidelity can recover. So there is hope for all of you out there. Tell us, what did you think of this episode? What really stood out to you? You can send us a message on our new Instagram, thirstyand30.club, or our email, thirstyand30@gmail.com. You can also keep updated by subscribing to our YouTube and Spotify or anywhere podcasts are available for more gold like this. And of course, check out our weekly newsletter, thirsty30.substack.com. Till then, stay thirsty.